Buddha, for the Dharma, for the Sangha. In Gakudo Yojinshu, Aspects of Meditation, Dogen says, when learning the way, listening to the teaching of the master and training after first entering the gate, there is something you should know. Naryo Gankyo, it says that external things control the self and that the self controls external things. Should I control external things, then I am strong and they are weak. But should the external things control me, then they are strong and I am weak. From the beginning, these opposites, note, have existed in Buddhism. Unless someone has a true transmission, this cannot be understood. Unless a true master is found, even the names of these opposites are unheard of. Those who have no knowledge of this can never study true Buddhism, for how can they ever differentiate between right and wrong? Note that, differentiate between right and wrong. They who practice true Zen by studying the way naturally transmit the meaning of these opposites. They make no mistakes such as are found in some teachings. It is not possible to understand the true way without the training of Zen. In other words, without pure meditation. Something that the great master Dogen and all the Buddhas and ancestors have always emphasized. That last sentence, it is not possible to understand the true way without the training of Zen, may seem to be a kind of afterthought, but it's a summary of this entire paragraph. And I want to talk a little bit about these opposites that he's describing. I'll read it again, the key sentence here. In the Ryo Gankyo, it says that external things control the self and that the self controls external things. Should I control external things and I am strong and they are weak? But should the external things control me, then they are strong and I am weak. Let's imagine that I'm tootling along in life and in my daily life. I'm doing my meditation. I'm doing my regular practice. And that in some way, I'm taking something for granted. Maybe I'm taking a lot for granted as I go along. Eventually, the consequences of my actions as I go along taking certain things for granted catch up with me. While I am going along taking certain things for granted, it's easy for me to have the delusion that I am strong and external things are weak. That is, that I'm in control, that I know what I'm doing, and everything's going to work out okay. I see what's coming down the pike. But I'm not really listening to my heart. And things are going to catch up with me in a very unpleasant way eventually. In that position of tootling along, taking things for granted, I have the illusion that I am strong and external things are weak. When the karmic comeuppance happen, I learn that external things are strong and I am weak. Then if I'm not careful, it's very easy for me to think, hey, wait a minute, I was doing my training, I was doing my meditation. I'm the victim here. External things, other people are at fault. I wasn't doing anything wrong. The problem is, it's not about doing things right and wrong as the world understands it, nor is it about doing things right and wrong as worldly religion understands it. Note what Dogen says later in this same paragraph. Note very carefully. Those who have no knowledge of this can never study true Buddhism, for how can they ever differentiate between right and wrong? Now think of right and wrong here in the sense that I've been talking about it. The River Master says, the sense in which she uses the term, when she says that unless you know with your whole being that an action is right, you do not understand right. Unless you know with your whole being that an action is wrong, you do not understand wrong. In other words, unless you know in your blood and bones, with something beyond your head, something beyond a formula, something beyond a formula, a moral formula, even the seeming formula, because they're actually not a formula of the precepts. Unless you know what it is to truly follow your heart and what it is to truly not follow your heart, you don't really know what right and wrong are in the sense that's essential for going beyond the altar of worldly religion into deeper spirituality. That's really what the theme of our Jodo last night was. Going beyond the altar of worldly religion to deeper spirituality. You know, what is it to truly live from our heart? I keep saying, as River Master kept saying, this is not about being virtuous or not virtuous. It's not about amassing merit or failing to amass merit. This is not about righting wrongs, real or imagined. This is not about perfecting the self. This is about living beyond the opposites. When River Master was a young monk in Sojuji, the seniors taught her by asking her the question, can you catch the Lord? This is not some special advanced teaching for just a few people who've gone very far. This is for everyone doing this training. This is not just for monks. Who is there that does not have the Buddha nature? Can you hear the still small voice? Can you stop and listen? Are you willing to stop and listen? Or is it just a matter of going along in a kind of a fog until one hits the big crunch of karmic consequence coming due? This is not an esoteric teaching. This is the teaching we begin with. And it's what we're always working on. I've told the story many times of how in various ways, from the very beginning of my training as a monk, I tried to do this, catching the Lord. how I'd go up in Jodo ceremony to a master, and I'd very consciously not have something in my mind. I'd go up there to see if something could come out of my heart through my mouth. An arrow shooting towards the eternal through my master, or represented by my master. And I cannot tell you how many times I walked away from that situation feeling such an ass. And some of them because I was an ass. I was trying to let something deeper through. And similarly, I was trying to hear something deeper. To go beyond the surface of my master's words to this true spirit and heart of them. And how many times, innumerable times, did I get it wrong? And sometimes it became clear that despite my best intentions, I actually got it right. Can you catch the Lord eventually turns into hold fast to the Lord of the house? When River Master said to the Doan of Sojiji at the gate of the temple, she wished the perfection of Zen. This is what she was wishing for. She had been brought by her heart to that monastery. The perfection of Zen is to live freely from one's heart. Not as some people foolishly imagine, abandoning the precepts, but living the precepts without most of the time having to think about it. Because the precepts are the natural, or the description of what it is to live from one's heart. As are the paramitas and the four wisdoms. Earlier in Gakuryo Jinshu, Dogen says the following. Self is the basis for the 62 private opinions. So when you're beginning to become full of your own opinions, just sit quietly and watch how they arise. On what are they based, both within you and outside of you? Your body, hair, and skin come from your parents. The seeds that came from your parents, however, are empty, both from the beginning of time and until the end of it. Within this there is no ego. The mind that is fettered by discrimination, knowledge, and dualism of thought blinds us. After all, in the end, what is it that inhales and exhales? They who live in delusion cling to all things, whilst they who are enlightened are free of clinging and things. And still we measure the unreal self and grasp at worldly appearances, thus ignoring true Buddhist practice. By failing to sever the ties of the world, we are turning our backs upon the true teachings and chasing after false ones. Such mistakes must be carefully avoided. When you are beginning to become full of your own opinions, just sit quietly and watch how they arise. On what are they based? When that fog of complacency, that fog of pain, that fog of confusion, that fog of guilt, that fog of self-judgment, that fog of grief, that fog of passivity, that fog of impulsiveness, when that fog sets in, recognize it and sit still and allow the opposites to settle down and quieten and come together in the hara. In true meditations, the opposites come together and are familiar with one another. There's no wild swinging between them. We don't have to use a heavy hand and try to execute the self. All we need to do is withdraw within and be still. In daily activity, this is a bright and active stillness. In the quietness of contemplation, it is a deep, untroubled stillness. Yet it is always in its essence the same. Watch out for worldly formulas. And don't follow the advice of worldly people. And don't allow worldly people to pull you around by your spiritual nose. Each of us makes our own karma. Look into your own heart. What is it that is good to do now? What is it that is good to do in this present moment? That's always what it comes back to. So many times I emphasize the importance of asking for help. I'll just end this talk on this note. When we get ourselves into trouble, we did not pause first and ask for help before we acted. We did not pause to listen. We went on a formula, on an opinion, on a karmically conditioned good intention. We practice really listening, not just to the letter, but to the spirit of our master's teaching, of our master's instructions, so that we can listen not just to the letter but to the spirit of the precepts, which is the voice of our own heart.